dazzled signal, they waggle their feet furiously. The ball fell, jamming the catch on the mousetrap. Then everything happened at once. The pistol fired, setting off the arrow from the crossbow, which in turn released the axe. The axe fell right across the middle of the mousetrap, cutting it in half and slicing through the rope that held Basil and Dawson. They were free! Come, Dawson, cried Basil. We must save Olivia and find her father. At the royal palace, the mechanical queen was talking to all the mice.
I'm going to marry the wonderful Ratigan, she said.
The mice could hardly believe their ears. They all knew how terrible Ratigan was. But they clapped politely because they loved the queen. They had no way of telling, of course, that this wasn't their queen at all. That she was just a toy. And that Ratigan was forcing Mr. Flavisham to make her speak and act by pulling mechanical levers. Then came the moment when Ratigan decided to make his appearance already dressed in royal robes.
I am King Ratigan the First,
ruler of the land, sea, and sky. No, I declare that slavery is restored, that taxes are doubled, and that prisons are abolished, because I'm going to execute all the prisoners, and I declare... He didn't get any further. Racing to the palace, Basil arrived just in time to take over the levers controlling the mechanical queen from Mr. Flavisham. So it was that, to the amazement of the spectators, the queen, who had only just told them that she was going to marry Ratigan, now started calling him an impostor, because it was the voice of Basil. And then, as Basil jerked hard at the levers, right before their astonished eyes, their queen, Maustoria, began to fall to pieces. Ratigan saw at once that his plan had failed. He jumped onto a balcony, grabbing Olivia as a hostage as he went. Outside the palace, he had his own airship waiting and ready to take off. Basil quickly gathered up some toy balloons and a big sheet and constructed his own makeshift balloon. After him, Dawson, he cried. We'll catch him yet. Basil's balloon chased Ratigan's airship at great speed across the sky. As Basil's balloon closed in on Ratigan, Olivia Flavisham gave a warning cry.
We're heading straight for Big Ben, she shrilled. We're going to crash!
Just in time, Ratigan steered his airship downwards, straight into the huge wheels and gears that keep the great clock going. And just in time, too, Olivia jumped out of Ratigan's airship to the safety of Basil's balloon. Bravely, Basil sprang after Ratigan, who was now on the clock tower. They chased each other round the wheels and the gears, each trying to push the other off, knowing that one false step would mean certain death. And then Basil had a clever idea. He jumped onto the huge little hand of the great clock and began to walk slowly backwards towards the end of it. Ratigan, thinking he now had Basil at his mercy, followed him. There was nowhere that Basil could go except to the end of the hand, and then one more step would cause him to fall backwards. But Basil, watching the big hand, knew that the clock was about to strike. If he could just hang on until the first boom, and then it happened. Boom!
It came out of the clock face like a clap of thunder, and it caught Rattigan completely off his guard. As the clock shook, he lost his footing, slipped, and plunged to his doom. Seconds later, Dawson brought the balloon alongside the clock face, and Basil jumped on board. Olivia threw her arms around him. "Oh, Basil, thank you," she cried. "Thank you so much."
The Fox and the Hound. One foggy morning, just as the country animals were beginning to wake up, the peace was shattered by shouts and the baying of hounds. From her perch high in a tree, Big Mama the Owl saw a fox racing over the field with something in its mouth. The fox reached a fence and in panic dropped its bundle before squeezing under and slinking away. As it disappeared, two shots rang out. Then there was silence. After a while, Big Mama swooped down to the fence. Her keen eyes had spotted a movement. There, huddled in the grass, was a tiny, frightened fox cub. This was the bundle the mother fox had dropped. "Just you stay there," said Big Mama kindly. "I know someone who may look after you." And off she flew to a nearby farm where Widow Tweed lived. Rapping on the window with her beak, Big Mama soon roused the old lady. With the owl flying overhead and Widow Tweed trotting along behind, they quickly reached the fox cub. Gathering him in her arms, the old lady decided at once to adopt him. So Todd, as she called the cub, began a new life on Widow Tweed's farm. One day, when he was in the farmyard, Todd started to chase a butterfly, and soon he had followed it out of the farm and into the nearby wood. Now, near the wood, another young animal was settling into a new home. Amos Slade, the hunter, had decided his hound Chief was getting too old to hunt, and so had bought a puppy which would one day become a fine hunter. As Todd leapt after the butterfly in the forest, Copper, the young puppy, sniffed the air curiously and wrinkled his nose. "What's that?" he wondered. "I've never smelt that before." So, nose to the ground, Copper set off into the forest, following the scent. Suddenly, he was pulled up sharply by a strange voice. Looking up, he saw a small furry animal with mischievous eyes watching him. "Hello," said Todd. "I haven't seen you before." "I've been following your scent all over the forest. I didn't know what it was," said Copper. "Well," said Todd, "now you're here, let's play hide and seek. I'll hide and you track me." Todd and Copper enjoyed themselves so much that they agreed to meet in the forest every day, and soon they were close friends. Big Mama liked to see them playing together, but she knew it couldn't last, for foxes and hounds are natural enemies. Yet Todd and Copper had sworn to be friends forever. One day, Copper didn't turn up to play. Todd waited for some time, then went to look for his friend at Amos Slade's farm. He found Copper tied to the barrel in which he slept, looking very unhappy.
"My master found out,"
that we play together in the forest and was very angry. I can't ever come again. Todd didn't quite understand. Never mind, he said. We play here instead. No, cried Copper in horror. It's far too dangerous to play near Chief. He hates foxes. How strange, said Todd, trotting over to inspect the sleeping hound. Chief smelt the fox at once. He leapt up growling and went for Todd. Run, Todd, run, shouted Copper. The little fox took to his heels in terror. Not looking where he was going, he dived straight into the chicken run, and in an instant chaos broke out. Chickens flew everywhere, squawking in alarm. Amos Slade, disturbed from his afternoon doze, rushed out of the house, clutching his gun and trying to struggle into his trousers. He saw Todd tearing around the farmyard, hotly pursued by Chief. Slade took aim and prepared to fire. Todd ran blindly, shots whistling over his head. Panting, he reached the lane leading homewards, just in time to see Widow Tweed's car rattling past. He made one last spurt, leapt in, and hid under the back seat, his heart thumping with fear. Todd's carefree days with Copper were over. The next morning, Slade loaded Copper and Chief into his truck, along with enough food and equipment for a long hunting trip. You're going to learn about hunting, he said grimly to Copper. When you get back, you won't want to play with foxes. You'll catch them instead. The seasons passed, and Todd grew into a handsome young fox. But he didn't forget Copper, and when one day he saw the hunter's truck return, he was hardly able to contain his excitement. He waited until nightfall so that Chief would be asleep, then crept round to the neighbouring farm. How I've missed you, Todd cried when he saw Copper.
Have you? Replied Copper coolly. Look, I'm a hunting dog now, Todd. We can't be friends. You'd better go before Chief wakes up.
Todd hesitated, puzzled and hurt. And at that moment, Chief did wake up. Seeing the fox, he set up a volley of barking that brought Amos Slade out of his house, gun in hand. Todd didn't wait. He had a head start, but it wasn't long before he sensed Copper and Chief closing in on him. Scrambling up a steep embankment, he crouched under some railway sleepers, panting for breath. He waited until he heard Chief race past. Then he crept out of his hiding place to find himself face to face with Copper. Copper snarled threateningly, then looked quickly over his shoulder. I don't want to see you killed, Todd. I let you go this once, but run! He whispered urgently. Todd took his chance and raced off down the railway track, right into Chief. Poor Todd turned again, feeling quite desperate, with a hound snapping at his heels. Above the sound of his own gasping breath, Todd was dimly aware of another noise. It was a huge train bearing down on him. He just had time to dive between the railway sleepers. But Chief was not so lucky. The train caught him a glancing blow and knocked him off the bridge into the ravine below. As the roar of the train faded, Todd saw Chief lying far below, with Copper standing over the injured dog. Looking up, Copper yelled to his old friend, I'll get you for this, Todd. I'll get you if it's the last thing I do. Todd limped wearily back home. That night, Widow Tweed made up her mind. Todd would have to go. At first light the next day, she packed Todd into her car and drove to a game reserve a few miles distant. Out you get, Todd, said the old lady sadly. This is to be your new home from now on. At least you'll be safe here. But Widow Tweed had underestimated Amos Slade. While Todd was making friends with the animals in the reserve, Slade and Copper were busy tracking him down. One day, Copper finally sniffed out Todd's den, and Amos Slade laid traps all around it. They knew Todd wasn't far away. He often roamed in the woods with his best friend, a young girl fox called Vixie. Sure enough, they soon heard him approaching. As Todd came trotting along, the trap started to snap shut around him. He whirled in alarm and fled back up the track with Slade and Copper coming right behind him. Todd raced past Vixie and she too fled in terror. They both headed for the river where they could lose their scent in the water.
Slade and Copper followed them as far as the rocky bank. But as they searched for Todd, an enormous grizzly bear appeared from behind a crag. The hunter was so startled that he tripped over one of his own traps and fell to the ground. The bear reared up, ready to lunge, and Copper flew to his master's aid, Chief Bear. The great bear swiped at him with a huge paw. From where he was hiding, Todd heard Copper howl with pain. His fur bristled. He had to help his friend. Soon he was at Copper's side, and launching himself at the bear, Todd buried his teeth in its ear. The brave fox hung on grimly until the bear sent him flying with a great slap. Todd lay stunned on a log by the river, and the bear lumbered towards him. But as he stepped on the log, it cracked beneath his weight. Both Todd and the bear were swept into the river. The icy water revived Todd, and he managed to struggle to the bank while the great bear was swept on downstream. As Todd lay exhausted, he felt a warm nose push against his. He looked up to see Copper standing over him, smiling. It was a happy moment for both of them, until they heard the click of a gun. It was Slade. Copper moved in front of Todd, directly in Slade's firing line, and growled menacingly at his master. The hunter stared at his dog thoughtfully, then slowly lowered his gun. "Come on then, Copper," he muttered. "Let's go home." So Slade and Copper limped slowly away. As he went, Copper remembered how he and Todd had sworn eternal friendship. They hadn't known then how difficult it was for a fox and a hound to live as friends. Copper looked back and saw that Vixie had crept out of her hiding place to be with Todd. After all that had happened, Copper was glad that now his foxy friend would be able to live in peace.